If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
As long as we're talking about what we're spending on, we might as well talk a little bit about how we do it. The South African Reserve Bank released a very fascinating payment study today that gives us a sense, the payment study report, interesting title, that gives us a little bit of insight into how South Africans actually spend their money. One of my frustrations with technological advancement, aligned with increasing concerns about financial safety, particularly cash theft and the like, is that increasingly, and I don't know if you've seen this as well, I'll go into a shop and they say, no cash accepted. There are certain brands that are, I think Woolworths is working towards being a card-only store. I think there's been a warning shot that's been sent out. I'll stand corrected if I've gotten that particular part wrong. And in a country where cash is legal tender, the exclusionary bias of, and I understand that shopkeepers and store owners and brand runners want to protect the safety of their staff, want to protect the safety of their stores from the potential of a robbery. But at the end of the day, it's extremely exclusionary in a country that, and we'll hear from our next guest, the extent to which this is the case, that uses cash in a large amount. So let's turn our attention to the head of National Payment System Department at the South African Reserve Bank, Tim Masella. Tim, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, and good to be here in the show.
Indeed. Tell us a little bit about what the impetus was for this first ever study here in South Africa.
Thanks very much for the opportunity. Indeed, in the background that you sketch, we're finding that there are areas where only limited acceptance of some of the instruments is proliferated, and if you have an alternative instrument, you might be unable to transact. And in this effect, we commissioned this study so that we could understand consumer behavior, why consumers choose certain instruments. As an example, it could be they choose an instrument that they know is accepted widely, because if they go to some areas, others would not be accepted. But however, there's some misconceptions on usage of other instruments, and we wanted to understand that so that we can address that. The providers of services benefit from this information so that they can design instruments that are more acceptable to consumers. And merchants like stores you mentioned, for instance, one of the big merchants, would understand what drives consumer behavior. So in a nutshell, that's what we wanted to get, and we got insightful outcomes from this study, which we're going to leverage as regulators as well as providers of payment services to ensure that consumers are better served.
And what was your biggest takeaway about this? I you know, it seems as though cash is still, by a long shot, the predominant medium of money exchange in South Africa.
Yes, I think what I need to highlight to you is that cash is the most prominent means of payment in terms of volume of transactions, but low in terms of value. So what that means is that people buying in cash, they buy smaller baskets, and people using digital means, although the transactions are lower than cash, they are higher in terms of value because of the size of the basket. So this then will tell you where cash is most dominant and where digital instruments are also entrenched in the market. Now, what we want is that we don't want to fight cash. We want coexistence of cash and digital so that consumers have a choice. However, we would like consumers to also have information so that they make the right decisions for the instrument that better suits their needs. Now, there's areas where digital instruments are not accepted. We want to drive digital acceptance there so that you can choose whether you transact in cash or you transact digitally.
So, Tim,
the same. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, if I may. So let's give some examples there for our listeners. So, for example, in a taxi, you would like to see more Yokos, let's say.
Yes, we would like to see the most convenient way that the consumer and the provider of the service can accept. For instance, if we could get to a situation where using a mobile phone, you can store a digital wallet on the phone, then you can pay in a taxi. Whether your mobile phone is smart or not, we want that acceptance to be enabled so that you choose whether you carry cash or whether you carry a wallet that is digital on your phone and you can use that to transact. So, however, we should ensure that security is also entrenched in that arrangement so that your wallet should be protected in case you lose your phone.
Absolutely.
So those means are possible.
One of the things that I found very interesting, not necessarily in this report, but from your digital payments roadmap that you released in April, was the comparison across African countries between internet and mobile money usage. Particularly our more mobile continental brethren like Kenya and Nigeria, where internet penetration is significantly lower than South Africa. But in Kenya, you're showing here that it is sort of an 82% usage of internet users using mobile payments. In Nigeria, almost 60%. And then in South Africa, about 20%. What do you think that's because of? What's driven by?
Yes, I think if we take those two use cases, they are very good examples that you raised. Most of our people are banked. They have a bank account.
Ah.
But they use that bank account as a postbox. They receive money, and then they withdraw it, and they transact in cash. So that is not the appropriate usage of digital payments. Now, in the Eastern African bloc, Kenya, Tanzania, those areas, they had a situation where people were unbanked, and they were receiving cash. Some of them were even paid in cash, hard cash. Now, when the mobile wallet system was actually launched in that environment, it gained traction because it was the only means that people could go to digital. Ours are having digital in terms of accounts, but they withdraw and then transact in cash, which is not where we want to be. So now, what we're doing is that we ensure that people have bank accounts, hopefully for saving, but we need them to have a digital wallet for transacting so that they can transact through an account or they can transact through a wallet. And that's where we are moving towards ensuring that we embed digital wallets in our system, which is something that is highly used in East Africa, and we only coming to it because we digitized in terms of giving people accounts. And a typical example I could give you, the SASSA beneficiaries.
Yes.
They have bank accounts, but they don't necessarily need to bank. They need to transact. So we need to give them something that they can transact so that they don't use the SASSA account to withdraw cash and start transacting in cash, which is
mobile money,
vulnerable to theft and losing money and all those things.
And
that should be an option for a consumer to choose whether they transact in cash, but they must have an effective alternative, and then they can make a choice.
That's fascinating. That's actually so helpful insofar as taking out this middleman, and I imagine bank or at least transaction fees would reduce significantly. Can I just ask one more question, Tim? As a matter of legality, where the Reserve Bank or the Mint at the very least, the Reserve Bank alongside the Mint establishes what is legal tender. Is it actually legal, appropriate, and I'm not sure if it's ethical, for merchants to say we no longer accept cash?
Well, in our case, cash should not be refused by a merchant.
Correct.
But as you indicate there, some merchants will say for safety reasons, they don't accept cash. We need to engage them because they're inconveniencing the consumer. But they have a valid reason why they don't take cash. They're trying to manage risks that they are prone to. However, legal tender in South African laws should not be refused because it should be accepted as a means of payment.
Correct.
Because it is what the state issues to the public for them to be able to transact.
Interesting.
However, if we embedded alternatives and they were entrenched in the market, that problem would not be much pronounced.
I see.
Because you'd find that I have cash, but I also have a wallet, or I can transfer money into my wallet and start transacting, because the digital world enables many possibilities of how you could conveniently load or unload your wallet or withdraw and transact in cash.
Thank you so much.
Tim, to your question, yes. Refusing cash is not what the law allows.
Correct. I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to follow that up with other merchants. Tim Masela, thank you so much. I look forward to the next time we speak. He is the head of the National Payment System Department. And I'm curious to know how you feel about that. Have you ever been turned away where people say card only? No cash accepted here. You heard it there first from the man who's in charge of how money moves in the country. That is not.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.